ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Two old friends go on a road trip together. Think Thelma and Louise without the police chase. There's no GPS in this car, and the driver keeps getting their phone out to navigate. Passenger fear and driver annoyance ensue. So how do you handle that kind of conflict with a close friend? It's time to Ask Auntie. Welcome to our honorary aunties, comedian Chris Ryan and Simon Kennedy Jewell, ethical counselor at the Ethics Center. Both of you, before we jump in, Chris, tell me, what are your thoughts on backseat driving?
Look, I'm a huge fan of it when I'm doing it.
Good answer.
Not a fan when I'm the driver.
Perfect. Love it. Simon, are you a good passenger?
I'd like to think so. Yeah, because yes, I've certainly been on the other end of backseat driving, and I know it's annoying, so I do try not to do it.
Okay, so let's take the measure of this dilemma that Carmen has sent in. Carmen says, I went on a driving holiday with a friend recently. At the end of the holiday, she told me all the things I did which annoyed her. This has never happened before. I've known her since 1993. When she picked me up in my town, she proceeded to drive the wrong way to our destination, and I tried to redirect her. She went merrily her own way, but finally listened to me. Perhaps this example annoyed me more than her. Any help I gave, such as directing her to the point where she could pick me up, she said I was, quote, treating her like an idiot, and she already knew where to go. I may have done this instinctively without realizing. I certainly didn't mean it that way. Being a passenger is hard if you normally drive yourself. Okay, we're going to pause here, take a quick gut check. Simon, any red flags for you thus far?
Well, so I think it seems like she's unsure in herself whether what she's done is, you know, backseat driving or just looking after, you know, just being wary and worried about the way her friend is driving. And certainly where there's a safety issue, you know, I don't think that's backseat driving, you know, if she's worried about the car veering around the road and things.
No, absolutely. Chris, who are you relating to at this point in the scenario? We're not done yet, but Carmen or the friend?
Actually, Carmen. Mm-hmm. I'm with Simon, I think, on this. She does seem to have a level of self-awareness that makes me trust her. Mm-hmm. I like people who think that they might be a bit sus and they're just sense checking.
Yes, yes.
Because the people who I don't like are often the ones who just are determined that they're right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, yes. Let's go back to Carmen, because she's not done with us yet. So Carmen's friend had to drive looking at her phone sometimes for directions. Occasionally, the car moved to the left of the main lane. I pointed out it was going left as I was a bit worried. She replied that she was a very good driver, of which I have no doubt. Generally, she doesn't seem to like a passenger commenting on road choices or driving choices. I told her she had difficulties with that vehicle and that it must be hard. Okay, checking back in with our aunties now. No solutions yet, please. Reactions only. Chris, you're Carmen. The car is veering out of the lane. How are you feeling at this point?
Mate, anxious. Yes. Yeah. So anxious. Mm-hmm. And it's in that moment where you're really wondering, gosh, I think I have to say something right now because we could actually have a massive accident.
Yep. Simon, sounds like Carmen was scared. I think Chris also agrees. I do too. Would you feel the same if a friend was driving like that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, because, and I think there is a real distinction between backseat driving on the one hand, you know, versus being legitimately concerned for the way someone is driving and the, you know, the potential safety risks that that might be creating, you know. So I don't think she's, Carmen's in any sort of negative territory yet, that's for sure. I think
Carmen
she's
is not Karen-ing, right?
No.
Carmen is gone. I think we are all team Carmen so far. Let's keep going, because Carmen's going to finish off now. I had no idea my behavior had caused any problem between us. I was shocked and offended. I suspected she unloaded partly due to the tension in her body around driving a car without GPS on unfamiliar roads. She wanted to discuss and resolve so she could move on. I was upset and thought it useless to continue with such high emotion. She insinuated that a good friend should be able to point out things that annoy them to the other friend. I took that to mean I was no longer a good friend, perhaps a leap too far. And Carmen's asking, do other people act like me? I didn't want to get into conflict over my behavior and how that affected her. I go away and think about things, especially when I'm very upset. Wow. So this road trip did not end well. What was supposed to be a fun time has caused a bit of upset around these friends. Aunties, Carmen sounds hurt and confused. Do you feel for her, Chris?
I do. She's, you know, in a friendship, there's always one that's sort of the bigger person and calmer. And maybe this other one brings something else to the table, like, I don't know, spontaneity and inappropriateness. I don't know. But, you know, it seems to me that right now Carmen is carrying the burden of the friendship.
Mm. Simon, let's address Carmen's question that she asked. Do other people act like Carmen?
Well, I think my first response is, well, who cares? I don't know. And you know, and who cares? I think, Carmen, you know, you do you. And it's up to you to decide if there's something that comes out of this that suggests, you know, her, you know, she needs to change or something she can learn. You know, that's, you know, and as Chris has said, I think the introspection and the reflection that Carmen is showing is indicative of that you know, she is looking to learn from this, and I think that's the way forward. You know, that's a great thing.
Very interesting line in Carmen's letter. She writes that a good friend should, the other friend, the bad driver, insinuates that good friends should be able to point things out that annoy them to the other friend. But it doesn't sound like it's a two-way street there, because Carmen's comments and concern were not welcome. What do you think?
Not at all.
No,
not at all. And Carmen's so level-headed. Like, I mean, there's a loneliness epidemic in the world, or Australia at least. You know, you can't afford to let friends like that go because you're a hothead, you know? And you've got to, I just think she's an extraordinarily self-contained person by the sounds of it, who knows that there is no point talking when people have heightened emotions, mm-hmm. and you are better off tapping out and just saying, I'll come back to this later. You know, you can't tap out forever, because then you will lose the friendship anyway.
Simon, but we only have some limited information of what Carmen tells us, but do you think it's really about the driving? Carmen points out this is a very long-standing friendship and the friend has never really spoken this way before. Is it really about the bad driving, or might there be something else going on here?
Oh, look, no, I think the reaction of the friend, and definitely the comment that this has never happened before, does suggest that there's very possibly something else going on. And we can only speculate, but it seems to me that A, it might be just that the friend has got some stuff happening in her own personal life that has made her agitated or anxious, or, you know, but also, and perhaps more interestingly and positively, might be the sense that her friend is trying to change up the way she relates to others and the way she engages in her friendships, and that part of that might be a sense of wanting to be more assertive, wanting to be more expressive of her feelings, and that could be part of a very positive journey. And the fact that she's chosen to sort of, if you like, experiment with that new behaviour in this relationship is indicative that, you know, maybe she's really trying, and she values the friendship enough to give that a shot.
Chris, there's an interesting Facebook comment from someone who said, Carmen's friend sounds very stressed. It's very frustrating when you're struggling with the GPS and your passenger, but I wonder if the friend is struggling with her memory. If so, she should be talking to her doctor. What do you think, Chris? Is that that's pure speculation? What do you think?
It's drawing a long bow.
Yeah.
I think it's more likely what Simon said. There's something underlying that she hasn't talked to her friend about that's really stressing her out. And, you know, when there's the straw that broke the camel's back, it's just, oh, gosh, now it's the driving. You know, I think there's something bigger that they need to have a conversation about.
Absolutely. So let's talk about solutions then. Carmen sounds like she cares about this friendship very much and would like to preserve it. She also sounds like she's a bit conflict averse. Simon, our ethical counselor, what would you do in this scenario?
Well, I think first of all, it's perfectly legitimate for Carmen to take that sort of time out to process, as she says. You know, she sort of says she does like to go away and think about things, you know. So I think that's actually totally fine, and she shouldn't feel apologetic for that. So take that time out, process, and sort of try and get out of that reactive or, you know, highly emotional space. And then just reach out you know, maybe I think just sort of set up a bit of a coffee, just something really relaxed and informal, but just don't drive there together.
Someone's texted in to say, these friends should never go to IKEA together. And I thought that's a very good point. Chris, what are your final words of advice for Carmen?
Oh, look, if anything, yes, she's got it covered, the whole mature, you know, de-escalate thing. But I think she's also entitled to, in the moment, just say, you know, I don't think it's fair of you to get angry at me for calling out the fact that you're outside of the lane.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can talk about this later.
Yes. It's important to stay in your lane for many, many reasons. I want to thank you both so much for sharing your insights. Wonderful aunties. Chris Ryan's show is called Goodo, and it's on in Canberra from the 16th to the 23rd of March before heading to Melbourne and other cities to follow. And Simon Kennedy Jewell is an ethical counsellor at the Ethics Centre, which provides free, independent advice via its helpline. We'll put a link to that on our website. A couple of messages about parenting that we talked about earlier with Beck Sparrow. Sunny says, we were the safe house, and it is so rewarding to see so many of the kids who stayed at our house go on to have successful lives. What a beautiful message. And thank you, Sunny, for being that safe person. Another person texting in that they were the safe house for their kids' friends. They write, my kids' friends came to my home after school often. I was a pikelet queen, and they loved them. I knew where my three kids were, who they had as friends. I knew they were all safe, and I was a single mom. Another texter says, as an older person who raised daughters during the 80s and 90s, I wonder if parents have lost common sense and are prone to reactive behavior. Yes, we need to know where children are and who the other family is they're visiting. Yes to boundaries, and parents trust your wisdom. That's from Jane. And another person singing the praises of having that safe house. I had that safe house to go to model from. It actually made my life. Now I have been able to raise my family with my friends' family values. Wonderful opportunity for me. So grateful. Thank you, Ted and Brenda from Scone. What a lovely message. One texter says, I'm so embarrassed about the way adults and parents are behaving these days. I agree with everything your speaker is saying, and I have no understanding of how it's come about and how to turn it around. Great, as always, to listen to your calls and read your messages and share your insights, as always. Looking forward to speaking to you next week again. If you have a messy social dilemma that you need help with, Ask Auntie is always here to help. Write to lifematters@abc.net.au. We will get our crew of aunties on the case. You are always in safe hands. We'll work with you to de-identify the problem if that's a concern for you. That email address again is lifematters@abc.net.au. A huge thank you to Life Matters producers this week who bring you all the stories and interviews that you've heard. Beck Zajac, Michelle Weeks, Nat Tenchich, Erica Voles, Tracy Tromf, and acting executive producer Haley Crane. Our audio engineer is Carrie Dell, and you can find all of Life Matters episodes on the ABC Listen app. Look for that bright pink app in the App Store. It's hard to miss. Download it. Search for Life Matters. Tap the heart. You're all set. I'm Beverly Wang, and I will catch you next week.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more. ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.